Meanwhile, for the interviews, I started the interview series in 1983, arising that actually, in a sense, I'd done something earlier when I'd filmed or had filmed a big conference in 1976-7, when I'd run a conference in Cambridge and invited a lot of very distinguished anthropologists and historians to Cambridge, and that's all on the web. And I'd realized how important it was to film them. But about 81, Jack Goody interviewed or had interviewed three elderly anthropologists, Srinivas, Audrey Richards, Maya Fortes, all giving talks. And then I heard from Heimendorf that he had all this film. I hadn't been interested in his film, but he said he'd got all this film and he got books. And I said, would you like to come and I'll interview you? So my first interview, appropriately, because now a new camera had come along, a U-matic camera, which you could take to your house, sit someone on a sofa, and film for an hour, 2 hours. So my first film was of Heimendorf, and I filmed on low-band U-matic, like this. And that went fine, and then there was a conference in 1983, and I filmed a number of people at that conference, like Tambaya and Raymond Firth and so on. And from then on, every year, I'd film 3, 4, 5 anthropologists using this. By 2000, I'd filmed 30, 40 anthropologists or more. The problem was what you do with it. From about 2001, I suddenly realized, at that point I expanded from anthropologists and a few historians to all the social sciences and arts and humanities. So I was now doing not just 3 or 4 a year, but 5, 6, 7, 10 a year. Then in about 2005 or 2006, I was telling a couple of colleagues in King's College, the provost of the college, ex-provost, Patrick Bateson, a distinguished scientist, and another one, Herbert Huppert, about what I was doing. And they said, well, you should interview scientists in this way. So I obviously said, I don't know anything about science, and anyway, someone must have done this. And they said, no one's done it, and you should do it. So I tentatively started with the man who used to live in this room. He was the man, the co-discoverer of tectonic plates, Dan McKenzie. And he was wonderful. He didn't browbeat me with science. He just explained simply what he was doing. And I gained confidence, and I worked with Patrick Bateson and a close friend of his, Gabriel Horn, on the history of biology and zoology in Cambridge, and we did 10-hour interview, 3 interview sets with them. And then I interviewed 12 Nobel Prize winners, Fred Sanger, the only double Nobel Prize winner, who's just died. But once you've got scientists there and you've got arts and humanities there, there's all the middle ground. So I did Nobel Prize-winning economists, I did theologians, I did musicians, I've just done the two greatest 20th century British lawyers, judges. I've done the 3 greatest European or British literary critics. So anyone who's interesting. And this is all part of an interview series. I started interviewing my granddaughter Lily when she was 3, so I have 10 or 12 interviews of her. I interviewed my fieldwork sister, Dale Meyer. I interviewed my uncles, close relatives, close friends, because apart from anything else, it's fun to do, and you learn so much. I mean, people don't tend to sit down for 2 hours and tell you about their lives. But if you've got a camera, as is happening now, you talk about important things in your life. And therefore, it was fun to do and interesting. We early decided that the interviews would be enriched enormously if there was a proper summary, which would, A, is indexed by Google, and B, allows you to send it to the person who's been interviewed to check, and C, if someone wants to see where they talk about so-and-so, so it's got time codes in. So Sarah, when I do an interview, my work is maybe a morning or a day. Her work is a week, and she's extremely good, and she goes through summarizing philosophers, chemists, mathematicians, whatever, and we send it to them, and then they check them, and then that goes up alongside the interview.